Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon. And today on the podcast, I'm very excited to introduce you to David. David, what's your last name?
Stewart.
David Stewart. And you are the founder and face of Ageist, which is an amazing magazine for those of you guys who haven't heard of it. This is one of the best things you can read if you're over 50 and you're into lifestyle, health, aspirational living, and just maintaining your youthfulness, your youthful mindset, as well as your youthful self. And David has worked with some of the biggest brands in the world, iconic brands including Nike, Adidas, Google, AT&T, and Philip Morris. And I'm so excited to bring him to the podcast today. Tell us a little bit about how you got started with Ageist.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what I saw was there was a big white space opportunity here. No one was really speaking to people our age in a way that really represented the way they were living these days. And, you know, the truth of the matter is, Dr. K, we're not living the way that we did, say, 30 years ago. It's a very different time.
It really is. I think, you know, they say that 30 is the new 20 and 50 is the new 30. So, I mean, I definitely think that we're in an age where we're just starting to grow as individuals. And when you hit 50, you feel like you're at your peak.
Yes, or as a woman I interviewed, Beatrix Ost, told me, when she hit 50, she felt she had hit a respectable age.
Respectable, but also an age of confidence. Like, it's funny, yes. I often ask my patients, so because I deal with aging every day and I want people to leave here from my office feeling confident. So I ask them, what's the best thing about aging? Because I have patients who are even like 85 years old doing their Botox and their fillers. What's the best thing about aging? And the number one thing they tell me is confidence, and it's not caring what other people think, and having the money and the experience and the assets to be able to do the things you finally want to do in life.
Right, absolutely. I think that there's a tremendous amount of focus in the culture about the downsides of aging, but I don't want to be 20 again. How about you?
I don't want to be 20 again. It was good. It was great while it lasted, but boy, I was green and wet behind the ears, and so much experience went into molding me into the person I am. I don't want to really live that at all.
Absolutely.
What do you think defines the modern decade of the 50s?
Well, I think it's really about vitality. It's about being culturally connected in a way that people weren't in the past. When I was a kid, I was listening to Led Zeppelin in one room, and my mom was watching Lawrence Welk. Mm-hmm. There's a tremendous divide between people in those ages, but it's really not so much like that anymore. We're much more culturally connected. There's a harmony. You see parents and their kids listening to the same music. And there's also, we're very active. People are very conscious of their health. And as you said, it's really the peak of their lives, and they are doing everything they can to stay in that condition.
What are some of the things that you're doing to stay vital and healthy?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I have a whole list of them. get a lot of sleep.
That is key.
I'm really big on sleeping. I'm big on drinking a lot of water. I'm very careful about what I eat. And I think that exercise becomes really more of a program at this age than a recreation. So people really have to pay attention to it.
I think it needs to almost become part of your religion to have exercise in your everyday meditative things and like the things you have to bring to the table every day, personally, I think.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, I started meditating about 5 years ago, as you mentioned that, and that was a tremendous asset to my life. But that along, it's a whole package. I mean, I tell people that aging well is not easy. It's work. It doesn't happen by accident. Mm-hmm. You just don't kind of bumble through things and everything's going to be okay. There's like actions you have to take, and there's a mindset to adopt. But once you do that, it's not impossible. I'm living in a way that was it would have been unimaginable to my parents at this age.
Very true. I think you're right. You do have to have a programmed approach to, you have to do your self-care, your maintenance. You have to keep your mind active, and you almost have to develop a second wind and a second interest in life, like your passion project, I think. For me, that's been so important because the kids get older, you become established in your career and your business, and then you start to realize that you really want to do the things that you've always thought of doing. So I do love the idea of like thinking about the aging process and how you're going to attack it.
Well, I think something that you said there about having purpose is really key to the whole thing. That, we really need a purpose and a drive in life. And I think that it's unfortunate some people will reach a certain age and they decide that they've just sort of had enough and they they just want to watch television or something. And it doesn't really work out for them. I once interviewed Dr. Connie Mariano, who was the head of White House Medical. Mm-hmm. And she has a very specific subset of people that she's interested in, which are ex-presidents. Mm. And they live a very long time, much longer than average, even though they're under a lot of stress. And she told me the reason for that is because they all have this tremendous sense of purpose. After you retire from the presidency, they don't leave you alone.
Right.
You're still a very influential person. And I think having this sense of being needed and purpose and contributing and usefulness is really key.
That is very true. As a physician, I can't tell you how many times that I've had patients who I've known for years, and the moment they retire and leave their job, it's like 2 years later they get a cancer, and then it's kind of crazy how like when people lose their drive and their everyday thing that's pushing them, that they sort of, their immune system falls, they get vulnerable to like just boredom and illness and depression. And literally, like, I never want to be one of those people to, as soon as you retire, you literally get a cancer and die. And then as soon as your spouse dies, you die 2 years later. It's kind of interesting what the human mind and psyche can do, and that drive to survive and flourish and keep on going out there and killing it every day is so important. What is something about ageist that would surprise my listeners? Like, what do you think brings people to it?
So I'll tell you this. So we deal with people, we profile people who are sort of between like 50 and late 60s.
Mm-hmm.
But half of our readership is under 45.
Really?
We've never profiled anyone that young. And something like a quarter of our readers are under 30.
Mm-hmm.
Which was shocking to me when I saw these statistics, but I found that for people, say, in their early 40s, they really want to know that people our age are, that it's like okay, that like they're not going to just expire at 50.
Yeah.
And the much younger people who are in their 20s, they're lacking these sort of role models and North Stars for what the possibilities are in the future. Like, how do they? I had one kid, I interviewed a kid who was like 26.
Mm-hmm.
He lives in North Georgia. Not really our demo at all. And I said, well, why do you subscribe to us? Why do you read us? And he says, well, Dave, you guys are really cool. I want to learn how to be like you.
Oh, my gosh.
And I said, right on. Well, that makes sense. What we do is we aspirationally frame people. We don't show people our age as being diseased or having some kind of immediate medical need. They are, as you said, at feeling that they're at the peak of their powers. And cool is ageless.
Mm-hmm.
So, why does cool expire at 22? It doesn't.
It doesn't. And I think so many media campaigns now are more focused on these beautiful models who are older, who are showing their gray hairs, who are showing lines and wrinkles and in experience and wisdom. And I think that's so important to show the perspective of human existence. We can't possibly expect to maintain every aspect of youth in every decade. And we don't want to. But if we don't show these role models to, like you said, to young people, like what do they have to aspire to? But it's kind of like listening to that podcast of How I Built This. It's like listening to people, how they built their lives and successful habits and things that made them who they are. I love that idea of profiling these people who are aging well.
I think that it's, why not? I mean, why can't we have an aspirational view of people over 50? Mm-hmm. For some reason, people just kind of have, they think that you can't do that. And I had a pretty successful career as a photographer. And so why can't I bring the same skill set to this, when I was working in Paris for the magazines?
Right.
Why can't I show people looking great? Why can't we tell their stories as being really pretty amazing?
Well, you have an amazing voice to sort of change that perspective, and your creativity has really influenced, you know, your business model and with ageist. But I completely agree with you, and I think that especially for women, we're very vulnerable because we start to feel like our lives aren't meaningful if we're not beautiful and defined by this image of youthfulness. And there was a famous model in the 80s, I'm sure you remember, Paulina Porizkova.
Oh, I know Paulina.
Yeah, she's so fabulous.
Yeah, I know her. She's awesome.
She's so fabulous, and I was following her on Instagram, and I'm recently like reading. She's actually a great writer, and she's writing about feeling relevant. Like, she's so beautiful, but because she's now past 50, she feels like she doesn't have a place at the table to bring her experience and her interest and her beauty, and you just want to keep feeling relevant. Do you have to do something to your face in order to be taken seriously and to be allowed to express yourself at the table?
I think that that's a really, I know Paulina.
Yeah.
I actually, we both did TED Talks, and she was on just before me. So we had a lot of bonding about that. But she, truth be told, I mean, Paulina at 52 is strikingly, shockingly, like, stop the conversation in the room, beautiful.
She is, yes.
Yeah. But I think, you know, she said something about how it's easier to be heard when you're seen.
Mm.
And there is something to that. On the other side of it, there are more women starting more successful businesses than there are men in this age.
Right.
I've got 10 awesome women for every awesome guy to profile. Like, the women in this age, they're just kicking it.
Yeah.
But
there's no more fear at this age. Like, you don't care what people think, and you're doing what you want to do.
But I think the beauty, appearance, this is all really, for women, I think, really deeply confusing and, like, you use the word maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
How much maintenance? Like,
right.
Do I look 20? Do I look 30, 40, 50? Do I do nothing? What's like the right amount?
Yeah.
And do with someone like Paulina, who's just like genetically gifted, but you know, her whole being was about her beauty.
Yeah.
So there aren't, most people aren't like that. I mean, most of us, I mean, she does other things too, but that's pretty much what she's known for. So it's particularly confusing there.
It is.
You must run into that.
I definitely run into that. And I'm taking care of women of all ages. And I think Instagram, of course, has influenced all of us to think that we have to have a perfect life and a perfect face to go with it, with a filtered appearance. So it's really, it is a good question. Like, how much maintenance is necessary? And why do we make women... Why do we judge women so much based on their appearance? Like, guys get rugged and they look better with the older, more gray hair, wiser women. It's just not the same. But the idea of maintaining relevance, I think, is so interesting. And for myself, like, even at my age, I get to the point where sometimes I look haggard when I look in the mirror. And I always want to look in the mirror and see back the version of my face and myself that feels like me. So I think as soon as you start to change to where you feel like, oh, I don't look like me anymore, that's where you do little things.
So I have it's interesting when we've interviewed thousands of people, and in general, the difference between people's actual age and the age they feel is about 20 years.
Really?
So if you're 50, you feel like you're 30. But it kind of changes throughout the day. I mean, maybe you went to the gym and so now you feel 40. I don't know. It's volatile, but there's that disconnect between how I feel, how I see myself in the mirror, and how other people see me. It's a really confusing thing.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely interesting to bring it into public view and to talk about it. And I love the goals and that you're such a passionate champion and authority for this over 50 mindset. The more we talk about it, the more we start to have philosophical growth and ideas. So tell me one more thing, that what's next for you this year in Aegist?
It's a year of tremendous growth here. So we have a book coming out. I've got I did 6 international conferences last year speaking. This year we hosted our own conference. I'm speaking in Hong Kong on the main stage of Global Wellness Conference. We're starting video and podcasting. We're doubling our staff. This is kind of our year. In the beginning, when we started this, nobody wanted to. They thought we're about old people. They didn't want anything to do with us. But now it's a different scene. So I'm very pleased to be here at this time.
I think this is your time. This is the time that we need to grow this idea that 50 and over is like, I mean, really, you just really start living your life at this point. And what other thing, what scares you is that you realize that the first 50 years went so fast and the next 50, you really need to make some progress with goals. What mantra would you say you live by or apply to your everyday life that's something that valuable that our readers and listeners can take away?
it's a big question you just asked me. I think that really, happiness is somewhat linked to externalities, but really it comes down to, and we've done a lot of big research on this, it comes down to a sense of usefulness. So how useful do you feel? Like, do you feel irrelevant? And that's really how I look at my day. Am I being useful? Am I being helpful to other people? Am I elevating the people around me? And that's, I think, at the base of us, that's how we're programmed. And when we've surveyed our people, their greatest fear is not getting sick or dying. Their greatest fear is irrelevance, mm-hmm. not mattering anymore. And to me, that sense of mattering, there's kind of big M mattering, like moving the culture. But then there's also like just saying hi to my neighbors and like just being as connected to other people as I can. That's what I try to do.
That is true. In so many ways, you start to realize that you're responsible for your own happiness and that you have to create your vision of your best life and then just go live it. Because you're just,
there's
no more holding back.
Create your world.
Exactly. Well, I really thank you for taking time out of your busy day. You're such a creative force, and it's a very inspirational thought to bring us all into this understanding that life evolves and continues, and every decade has its benefits and challenges, and keep showing us all these people who are achieving things at every age. But where can my followers and listeners find you on Instagram and your other channels?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So most of our channels are labeled We Are Aegist. But if that's too hard to remember, if you just type the word Aegist into Google, it will be the first thing that comes up.
That's a great title.
Yeah, you can't forget that one.
You can't forget that one. So, well, if you're ever in Los Angeles, I invite you to come over to my gorgeous office here in LA in Pasadena and come and visit. We'd love to meet you in person. You're a very dynamic and interesting person.
Yes, I'd love to stay in touch. I think your whole field is fascinating.
It is. There's really so much philosophically, scientifically, and it's just growing. And I don't think we'll ever tire of the desire to look and feel our best. And this really outward appearance somehow is tied to feeling your best. So doing the maintenance.
Absolutely. The right level of maintenance.
Exactly. Well, there you have it. That's David Stewart from Aegist Magazine, passionate champion and leading authority of the modern 50-plus lifestyle and math. mindset and aspirations that, that drive us forward. So I want you guys as homework to go and learn about a person who's over 50, who's killing it. And it's so important to have those role models. So that's it for now. Don't forget to find me on my Instagram at Beauty by Dr. K, D-R-K-A-Y, doing amazing things with face maintenance and people's confidence. And our website is the same, beautybydrk.com. Thanks so much, David, and stay beautiful.
Thanks so much.
Stay handsome. Take care.